Welcome to the Unraveled Podcast. My name is Alina.
And my name is Nina. And today I wanted to talk about what a real day in the life is for a realtor. What does a week look like? So I think a lot of people maybe assume what our job looks like or that it's always glamorous all the time. But tell me a little bit about if you have a very average day and then a very terrible day, what would that look like for you?
Very average day would be in the office pushing paperwork, but honestly more in depth would be like, it could involve cold calling. It could involve following up with, customers or clients that I'm currently working with, drafting paperwork, drafting contracts. Look at my lovely cat deciding to join us. It would mostly just essentially be an office day. If I have to draft up amendments, you know, touch base with my transaction coordinator, make sure contracts are going, making sure everything's working seamlessly through contracts. It could be negotiating repairs. Basically, just an office day. An easy, boring day would be an office day for me. I tried my best to schedule a lot of my showings on the same day or like my in-person appointments on the same day. Then that way I only had to get dressed and ready a few times out of the week. I still get dressed in to go to the office. Like I still try to dress professional just for the sake of mindset. It helps when you dress nicer and professional. It changes your mindset. If I wore leggings and a t-shirt, which I do occasionally sometimes when I don't have time to get ready or come from the gym and I just go straight to the office. That's just a little side note. But basically, it would be an office day. And then sometimes it could be higher active day would be a bunch of showings and scheduling appointments. For me, because I have two businesses, it could be scheduling actual showing appointments with clients. And sometimes it could also be meeting with new potential homeowners that want to use their home for short-term rentals.
You know, about right. Pretty average. And then you get sometimes like a terrible day or a day to where you have to do a bunch of things you really don't want to do. You know, and so I think if people look.
It's an office day for me.
Well,
I mean, I'd honestly rather be in the field. Like I'd rather be going, doing something in my car. Like I would much rather do that.
Yeah. But I mean, like there might be some days where it's like, okay, 8 a.m. in the morning, we're getting a septic tank pumped.
Oh, yeah.
And then 10 a.m., we're going to an inspection where the house is a disaster. Maybe 12 o'clock, we're walking a piece of land getting bitten by spiders.
This is true.
You know, I think a lot of it's less glamorous than people realize, which I think is kind of funny. Because if you watch, you know, like a Selling Sunset or any of those other shows.
Oh, it looks so glamorous.
But, you know, a lot of those houses, they're not even for sale. They're rented out for the show.
That's actually very true.
And then people just assume, oh, yeah, realtors are walking around in high heels all day, you know, with their hair done and their face full of makeup. But it's like, well, actually.
That's at the closing. It's either it's at the very beginning when the showing happens or it's at the closing. Everything in between is a lot more nitty gritty. I'll never forget this one time I was showing a property. I was dressed very nice. And I took the key out of the lockbox and I was trying to unlock the door. And the key fell through the deck, the porch, whatever, the porch. Of course, all of these little slits and all of these boards, and it fell through like the smallest little slit. I'm like, for real, you couldn't have landed on the plank. And I had to walk around the front. Thankfully, I have a toolkit in my car all the time. So I had to unscrew the lattice work along the side, crawl under the deck and get the key and then come back up and unlock the door for a showing. But I'm like, I promise you, it's not as glamorous as it looks all the time. Like, yes, there are times that it is. And those are the easy, fun ones, the fun days. But for the most part, it can be nitty gritty. There's some times back in the day when I sold a lot of properties in like Hartwell or in more rural areas that had wells. And before we knew that you could have like the inspector do the well test, we were doing the well test ourselves. We would have to go to the properties. First of all, because I live in Athens, I would go get the well kits from UGA for our office. I'd pick up the well kit samples and then I would take them to the office and then we would have them in stock so that we could do the well test ourselves on the properties. So we would have to go to the homes, fill up the little sample with water, take it to UGA a few days later. Oh, there's bacteria in the well. We would have to go to the property, pour bleach in the well, let it sit there for 24 hours, wait until it sits. And then we'd have to run every bought some in the house until all the bleach ran out and have it retested. So yeah, think about that too for properties that have multiple wells too. So
Oh yeah.
But all of this takes knowledge and knowing how to do it. And again, it's more of an active running around kind of day. Even if you're having to sit in for an inspection, which most of the time I'm just sitting there on my computer until we do the final walk after the inspection to figure out all the details and stuff. And another boring thing to do is having to pull ARV numbers for clients. That's I wouldn't say it's annoying, but it's not fun. Just pulling numbers, really. I think the thing I probably enjoy the most doing, like in my everyday routine, is looking at new listings when they hit the market. Like every single morning, I'm like, the first thing I'm doing is going online and seeing what new listings are on, just because, so that way I'm more proactive with my clients that are looking for something specific and just being able to see it right when it hits the market and be able to share it with them. And I'm doing that probably 2 or 3 times a day. And funny enough, still they end up finding the homes before I see them, even though I'm looking at them more than they are. But I think it's because they have notifications set on their systems. Versus me, I can't do notifications because I would be overwhelmed.
Yeah. And the other thing too is sometimes we have to do things and go to things representing the seller in their stead because maybe they're out of town, out of state.
Right.
I have a contract where it was a property that was renovated. The buyer got an inspection and they claimed that the crawl space was full of mold and all the subfloor and the beams and everything was rotted out. I knew for a fact that was not the case. But you know.
This was all in the inspection or the buyer just believed this?
They didn't provide evidence.
Okay.
They just said. So I literally went into the crawl space and took selfies next to the floor.
What are y'all talking about?
So, I mean, that's what I mean. Sometimes, I mean, I will say I do hate going into a crawl space.
Me and you
I
both.
I cannot even lie.
Me and you both.
But things like that.
We know how to do it and we've done it before.
More often I'm going to be in workout shoes, in a crawl space, or attending an inspection than you're ever going to see me in high heels. That's just reality.
I prefer to dress nicer. But you're not getting, but I'm gonna be wearing high heels under the crawl space, that's for
Can
sure.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, the right outfit for the right occasion. But essentially, like, I wanted to discuss this topic just because I think social media makes real estate appear very glamorous. And don't get me wrong, it can be a very glamorous industry, but there are certainly other sides to it that aren't as glamorous.
Yeah. And really, it's probably 80% of the time.
Yeah.
You know, 80% of the time, it's the practical, it's the paperwork, it's calling, negotiating, back and forth, going to inspections. It's just like any everyday life.
Yeah. And the negotiating, oh my goodness, negotiating. Mm-hmm. I feel like that for those first like 7 days of trying to get, I feel like the first 7 days between trying to get under contract and then trying to negotiate inspection repairs are brutal because you're constantly in negotiation. You have to know what both parties are really wanting at the end of the day to make all parties happy or it's no deal. Just the simple aspect of trying to get under contract and the negotiations that we go through for that can be really difficult.
Yeah.
And, I've learned over time that you just have to be really creative and think outside the box. Mm-hmm. And then I'm asking my clients, like, at the end of the day, do you want this home bad enough? What do you want out of it? Mm-hmm. And what are you willing to pay for it? And then we kind of figure out what that looks like and present that package to the seller.
Yeah. Cause oftentimes there are solutions that come before terminating.
Correct.
And that takes an experienced agent, but also one that knows how to negotiate and one that is willing to cooperate with the other party, because it's not about just being right. It's about getting your clients to the closing table.
Correct.
Now, some scenarios, a termination is inevitable.
Correct.
But before you terminate, 9 times out of 10.
Make sure you've exhausted all resources.
There's many different solutions you can go through. And
agreed.
It just drives me nuts when sometimes there's an agent who's on the other side and they don't have that experience and all they do is just terminate.
Yeah. And it's funny, I used to be that agent and I've dealt with agents that are like that. And most of the time it's newer agents. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, my goal is to make my client happy. Rather, I'm representing the buyer or the seller. Mm-hmm. And if the other agent doesn't know what they're doing enough to have that conversation with their client, I'm like, hey, do a 3-way call, put me on the phone with them. I've done that multiple times.
Yeah.
Let's figure out what they want, what they need, and if my clients are able to do it. And sometimes it can be, and I say this even from the standpoint of me being that agent before, where I didn't know how to have those conversations or review an inspection with the buyer to truly grasp what's important and what's not important and what's normal actually. So I think that I'm losing my train of thought.
I mean, the bottom line is that there's scenarios where we can easily come together.
Correct.
Easily. I mean, I had one not too long ago where they're asking for $25,000 in repairs. And I knew for a fact the seller would not do that. But instead of just saying, hey, no, the seller's not going to do that. Hey, let's make some other suggestions.
Yeah.
Let's compromise. Let's get this repair done in this way instead of using this crazy expensive company out of Atlanta. Yeah. There's always, well, 99% of the time, there's a solution if people are willing to come together.
And while we're on the negotiation topic, and you talk about $25,000 in repairs, sometimes the buyers don't even know what that costs. They just made up this fictitious number thinking it's going to cost $25,000. Oh, yeah. And it helps to either get quotes or talk with an experienced agent who knows what these things actually cost. Mm-hmm. So you're trying to negotiate the right amount of repairs. Like, yes, it would be nice if the sellers could give you $25,000. But let's be honest, they're going to ask you the same question I am, is where do you get this number from and why do you think it's going to cost this much? Versus when it could really cost like half of that or significantly less.
Yeah.
And I've had buyers think that as well. And I'm like, hey, like, no, this is only going to cost you $100. This is only going to cost this much. It's only going to cost this much. And it's easy to negotiate those things when you have a realistic figure of what they're going to cost, because then it shows the seller, I'm just not trying to get money out of you, but I'm actually genuinely trying to get these repairs done.
Yeah. And that's the biggest difference. I think if the seller feels like they're getting taken or the buyer feels like they're getting taken, that's usually where things don't end up working out.
Agreed.
So, okay. I mean, it's just, it's funny because I really enjoy what I do. I love working with buyers and sellers. And the reality is, it's a full-time job.
It is.
That's where I could probably die on this hill. But there's agents that are part-time. And I told a story the other day. I was
like,
trying
what to, even is that?
Well, so I was trying to show a property to a buyer. And first and foremost, the property was not listed in the local MLS. So it wasn't in Georgia. It was not in the classic MLS.
Where the heck was it?
FMLS? It was just an FMLS.
Okay.
But it's a property that's local here. So
that makes no sense at all.
The majority of people don't have access to the FMLS. Okay. Not only that, but the agent was not answering their phone. They're not answering texts, email, nothing. Mm. Finally, hours and hours later, they text me and say, oh, sorry.
After they finished their job.
I was at my job, and then they just texted me the lockbox code. They have no idea who I am. They didn't verify if I was an agent.
Wow.
And then I thought, well, you know, no wonder this property hasn't sold. And I had looked at it and I thought, I wonder why it's still on the market. Well, now I know. Because not only is it not in the local MLS and it's getting very bad exposure, but number two, the person's not responding because they have another job. Mm. Versus if you hire an agent that's full time, they are walking, breathing, sleeping real estate. Mm-hmm. That's who you want.
Correct.
You know,
correct.
Like when I wake up at 2 a.m. in the morning, okay, I'm thinking about real estate. Is that healthy?
Right.
But that's usually the type of agent you want in your corner, not someone who's thinking about, well, I have this 9-to-5, and then after that, maybe I can do real estate for 2 hours a day.
Correct.
How can you, I don't know, I just don't know how they can properly represent.
I agree. I don't think that exists. I mean, especially when you're looking as a buyer or seller looking to hire an agent, I mean, when you say part-time, that means, in my head, that means I'm going to be there part-time. Like you're only going to see me half the time. I'm only going to be able to commit to you halfway because I have another commitment. Versus when you hire an agent who's full-time, they're giving you their full attention, their full, all of their efforts.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people want to get involved in the industry because they're like, oh, I don't have to work 9-to-5 anymore. I can have my own schedule. Yes, your schedule. You are creating your schedule, which also means this is your business.
Yeah.
So what that looks like, which I think people misunderstand the glam, have an idea of what they think this is, like, oh, I don't have to work 9-to-5 anymore. Mm-hmm. But realistically, you just traded in your 9-to-5 job for a 24/7 industry. Mm-hmm. I'm working on the weekends. I'm working at nighttime up to 11 or 12 o'clock to close deals for my clients or find real estate property.
Mm-hmm.
Versus, you know, after 9-to-5, with a normal 9-to-5 job, you know, when that 5 o'clock hits, you are done. You don't have to think about this no more. But for us, we're constantly thinking about stuff around the clock.
And then
there's no turnoff.
No,
it doesn't exist.
But as you build experience and skill and you leverage your business and you organize and you build something that's sustainable, that's when you can start to time block for vacations and trips.
Correct.
And time off. So it doesn't have to be 24/7 for the rest of your career. But for a good while.
It is, while you're building your business. Correct.
Definitely.
Correct. And I certainly travel a lot throughout the year. And I still work when I'm on vacation. Oh, and the people that I travel with are either in the same industry with me, or they understand that they don't make it a big deal that I have to work, or, hey, I'm going to catch up with y'all later because I have some stuff I have to take care of.
Yeah.
But again, it's still like, I don't get the luxury of just being able to turn off my phone. Cause the minute I turn off my phone, I swear all hell's going to break loose. Yeah. That's normally what happens. Mm-hmm. And I promise you, every time I travel, it never fails. The morning of, like, getting on the plane, all of that kind of stuff. That's when everybody needs me.
That's when you're boarding. Yes. It's like something.
I'm sorry. I'm not going to be available for 4 hours. And yeah. I've got 30 missed calls when I land. I promise you, it is always that way. I mean, 30 is exaggerating, but I'm just saying, it is always that way because there's no sense of time.
Yeah. But I mean, that's kind of part of the reason why it's good to be full-time.
Agreed.
Because you imagine?
I couldn't imagine. No. I mean, this is an exaggeration, but I couldn't imagine working at Taco Bell and not being able to use my phone and then trying to work at a part-time job in real estate. Like, it just they don't coincide very well together. I feel like it's different. If you are a business owner, obviously in real estate, we're all individual business owners.
Yeah.
But I think it's different if you own another business and you're in real estate, because at that point you're not committed to someone else's time. Mm-hmm. Both businesses are owned by you, that it's your time, whatever you want to split to either one. And you can accommodate your clients very well how you need to, because they're both owned by you. That's what I do, at least, because I have two businesses that I run, but they're both in the umbrella of real estate.
Yeah.
But I think it's different when you have to commit, you're working for someone else at your other part-time job, and you're committing that time to someone else, that you don't get the flexibility to take away or step aside to handle your other job in real estate.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it's a great conversation topic. And I think that wraps us up for today, though. Thank you for watching and for listening to the podcast. We'll release a new episode every Wednesday.